This podcast is brought to you by the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, ACAM for short. You can find more podcasts and other resources on our website, www.acamh.org, and follow us on social media by searching ACAMH.
Hello, welcome to the In Conversation podcast series for the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, or ACAM for short. I'm Jo Carlo, a freelance journalist with a specialism in psychology. Today I'm interviewing Clara Faria, the winner of the ACAM 2021 Undergraduate Clinical Trainee of the Year Award and ACAM's first Young Persons Ambassador. If you're a fan of our In Conversation series, please subscribe on your preferred streaming platform. Let us know how we did with a rating or review, and do share with friends and colleagues. Clara, welcome. Can you give a quick introduction about yourself?
I'm a final year medical student here at the Federal University of Rio de Janeiro, which is located in Brazil. And I'm very interested in child and adolescent mental health, especially neurodevelopmental disorders like ADHD and autism. And I hope I can become an academic psychiatrist one day in that area. And right now, completing medical school, and for the next year, I want to apply for a master's in that area too.
And congratulations on winning the ACAM's 2021 Undergraduate Clinical Trainee of the Year Award and for being named as the first Young Persons Ambassador for ACAM. You must be very proud. How was it to receive that recognition?
It was actually the greatest honor of my life so far. It was very special to receive that prize. And actually, it was a complete surprise because my parcel got stuck in the Brazilian customs. And I only received it actually last week. So in the ceremony at the time, I didn't know what was happening. Like it was really a big surprise to me. And also, sometimes I have a bit of imposter syndrome and I really didn't think I was going to win. And it was 100% a surprise when Professor Cortez announced my name. So it was extra special because of that.
Regarding the Young Persons Ambassador role, I was so thrilled when I received the invitation. It's one of the things I'm definitely most looking forward to do this year. ACAM has been around for over 60 years, and I truly believe there's no other organization like that in the world, in the sense that it really encourages and tries to involve all relevant parties when it comes to promoting best evidence and best practice in child and adolescent mental health. And it's a really, really huge honor to be able to promote the association's values and missions in social media and try to make that its mission reaches more and more people. I really hope I'm up to the task, and I'm going to work really hard for that.
Right, fantastic. I understand that you were divided between doing pediatrics and psychiatric training because of your interest in working with children. I imagine it's quite a common conflict for many undergraduates. How did you resolve that conflict?
Actually, it resolved itself quite naturally during medical school because my first rotation, it was in pediatrics, and I loved it. I was completely in love with working with children and also with the routine. But at the same time, I have always been interested and involved in research in mental health. But actually, I began working with adults. But I have always been involved in research in mental health since the beginning of the university. And after that, I realized that I started doing a bit of research in ADHD. And then I realized I could work with both children and mental health. And I started looking into the ACAM and the association and other resources I found for researching further into child and adolescent mental health. And I saw that a career in that area would be a possibility for me, and that fitted my interests.
Now, early in your studies, Clara, you became involved with research in mental health when you joined the Laboratory of Panic and Respiration as a research assistant. What did this entail, and how did it spark your interest in child and adolescent mental health?
During my second year of university, I started working first as a research intern. Then I became a research assistant at the Laboratory of Panic and Respiration. And there I worked mostly with adults who suffered from anxiety disorders and or depression. And in most projects I was involved in, I was responsible for interviewing patients and sometimes their families. And in these structured interviews, I realized that most adult patients who suffered from a mental health disorder in their adulthoods, not all of the time, but most of the times, they began struggling in their young years, in their childhoods. So I started to become interested for that particular period. And then I started doing reading on my own on this period and on disorders that are prevalent in children. And that's how I became interested, because actually this laboratory, they don't do research in children. They are more focused on adults.
How did you balance that combination of work, research, and study? And also, if you have any tips for others who are following a similar path, that would be great to hear.
So I still struggle with that sometimes, actually, to be honest. But basically, I think that, first of all, I'm very lucky to have a really good support system from my family and from my friends. And secondly, I try to prioritize one area at a time, because I really don't think you can do all of them at the same time with the same intensity effectively. So, for example, in this past year, I prioritized a lot research because I was involved in really interesting projects and I was feeling really excited about it. But in the year before that, I focused a bit more on my medical school workload because I wanted to improve my grades. But then this year, I knew I had, for most of the year, I had electives. So my finals had already passed. So I was not worried anymore about my grades. So it was good because I was able to focus for most of the year on doing research and being more involved in projects I love. Yeah, I think basically I try to prioritize one area at a time and also one day at a time. And usually I'm more focused in one area and then I tend to focus less on them. Mm-hmm. And also looking back, now that I'm graduating, I can see that I clearly focused more on research than on the other two. But I don't regret it or anything like that. I just think that's what I like most to do.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that gave you a clue of which direction to go into next. Yeah. Let's focus on some of your projects. So you're currently working on two different main projects. The first is at the University of Southampton, and this is a systematic review predicting factors in ADHD diagnosis. Can you tell us about your involvement with this work and a little about the project itself?
So this project is coordinated by Professor Samuel Curtis, who is a professor of child and adolescent psychiatry at the University of Southampton. And he wanted to do a systematic review and meta-analysis on prediction algorithms for ADHD, because in the last years, ADHD prevalence increased a lot in children and adolescents. And sometimes there is a bit of diagnostic confusion with ADHD, because sometimes diagnostic criteria change depending on the country. So there is a lot of discussion on that. And then some researchers, they have been doing some really interesting work in diagnostic algorithms. So they basically study factors that and see if those factors are strong predictors of ADHD diagnosis. There are many factors that are involved. So for example, we have clinical features. There are also some studies that look at fMRI images and see if you can find markers of ADHD in those images. So there are many, many studies that are trying to find ADHD predictors in children and adolescents. And basically, we are looking at all those studies and doing a systematic review and meta-analysis on that, which is basically trying to gather all this evidence and see where it points out. And there's also another person involved in this project who is Holly Walker, that is a higher trainee in child and adolescent psychiatry in Southampton. And she's also great. So it's been great working with them.
Great. What's the timescale on that project?
So now we're finishing because doing a systematic review, it's a lot of work and there are several steps. First, we screened all the references and we're finishing the screening now and deciding which articles to include in a preliminary analysis. We had, I guess, over 11,000 references and we finished screening those 11,000 now. And we are finishing to decide which references we're going to include in the project. And then after that, we will read these articles we've selected in full, and we're going to extract the data from them to see. And then the next step would be first organizing all this data in a huge spreadsheet. And mm-hmm. after that, we have to run the statistics. And then after that, we have to write the manuscript. So I believe that we will still be working on that for a while. But until the end of the year, we will have the final articles we're going to include sorted. And then mm-hmm. in the next year, we will be doing the statistical analysis bit and also writing.
Let's look at your other project. So you're also working in a genome-wide association study of anxiety disorders in Brazil. What does this project entail and what is your role?
Basically, a genome-wide association study is looking for variations in the genome of lots of people to try to find if there is a particular variation in the genome that is associated with a certain disease. So in this study, we're trying to look and see if there is a specific variation in the genome that is related to specifically panic disorder and also generalized anxiety disorder. So we sequence the genome, not we, because there's a lab that does this part for us, but this lab sequences the genomes from a lot of people and looking for these variations. It's a really big project, actually, and I entered in the middle. So when I entered, we were still collecting blood samples to sequence the genomes, but we were also interviewing patients that are volunteering for this project and also their families, because we really need to be sure that those patients we are recruiting, they have the mental disorder we are trying to see if there is a variation associated with. So we do lots and lots of diagnostic interviews with them and their families, if they agree, of course, to see if there is the diagnosis we're looking for, and also to see if there are any other associated diagnoses. Basically, we need the patients that we are including to have an anxiety disorder, namely generalized anxiety disorder or panic disorder. And we don't want them to have any other comorbid disorders because that would mix up the results. So we do lots of diagnostic interviews with them to see if they have the disorder we're looking for. And I'm responsible for this part. So it's actually been really, I really like talking to people sometimes when they talk too much. And so I'm responsible for interviewing the patients and also their families. But unfortunately, this study is coming to an end this year because we had problems with funding. So now we're going to do the analysis of the samples we already collected.
It's very clear that your research encompasses, well, both the UK and Brazil. Clara, what insights have you gained from this exposure to different demographic groups and different health systems?
One of the things I love the most about research is being able to work with people from different parts of the world and gaining insights from their cultural perspective. I think that's one of the things that makes a research great. And I've been really fortunate to be working with you guys from the United Kingdom and also in Brazil. Actually, in Brazil, we also have a public health system that we call SUS. And SUS was actually inspired by the NHS, right? Because you guys have the biggest public health system in the world. So there are some similarities in the way that the health system is structured. For example, we also have GP surgeries and where patients are seen. And we also have many mental health demands that happen in GP surgeries. And we also reference the patients. The structure of the system is very similar. But I think that what's really different is the demographic characteristics of each population. So, for example, here in Brazil, the inequality gap is bigger than in England. So obviously there's also inequality in England. But when we look at the income gap from the most vulnerable groups in Brazil, it's a larger gap. So when we go to work in vulnerable communities here in Rio, for example, we really see the difference in patients' demands and patients' needs. So, for example, I work right now, I'm doing my elective in a GP surgery that it's located in a very vulnerable community here. Mm-hmm. And we see lots of mental health demands related to violence. And also when I say violence, I mean urban violence. It's different in this way, in this sense. Working in Brazil and working in this community is one thing I realized. And I started giving much more importance to is this determinants of health, because sometimes we see mental health conditions that are very related to that. Like if we could improve the conditions where people live and the conditions of employment of people, we would certainly see an improvement in their mental health and in their well-being in general.
Clara, you graduate at the end of 2021. What are your plans post-graduation?
Yeah, Here in the South Hemisphere, we have a different academic calendar. So we begin in January and we finish in December. So I graduated in December. And after that, I intend to work here in Brazil for a while. But as I told you, I'm applying to master's in the UK. So if everything works out, I hope I can begin studying in October. Those are my plans for now, basically.
Right. Well, the very best of luck with that. Is there anything else in the pipeline that you'd like to mention?
Well, one of the things I also hope to be able to improve next year, and that I actually started valuing because of ACAM and because of Twitter, is communicating science, especially when it comes to mental health. Mental health is such an exciting field of research to be working with. But at the same time, there's still lots of stigma. So I think that it's really important to communicate science and to involve patients and involve policymakers in our research. And I think that ACAM does a brilliant work with Twitter and the website and also now the bridge. So definitely next year, I will try to improve in that part. And I'm trying to learn more about communicating science and speaking about mental health in a less technical and more accessible way, I guess.
It's really important. Can you say anything more about why it's so important in the field of child and adolescent mental health to disseminate evidence-based science, really, to the broader population?
I think that it's significant and it's important for several reasons. One of them is that there is still lots of stigma around mental health. And I think that especially child and adolescent, because many people still don't think children and adolescents are so vulnerable as they are. And also because, especially when it comes to child and adolescent mental health, the role of family and the role of community is fundamental. So the more people we can involve and we can inform with evidence-based information is the best.
Finally, Clara, what is your take-home message for those listening to our conversation?
Well, I would like to thank ACAM for the invitation today. This was my first podcast ever, and it was a real honor. Also, I think the association does a brilliant, brilliant work in communicating mental health advancements regarding to children and adolescents. And well, it was a really, really huge privilege to be able to be a part of that. So thank you.
Thank you too. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. For more details on Clara Varela, please visit the ACAM website, www.acam.org, and Twitter at ACAM. ACAM is spelled A-C-A-M-H, and don't forget to follow us on your preferred streaming platform. Let us know if you enjoyed the podcast with a rating or review, and do share with friends and colleagues.
This podcast was brought to you by the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, ACAM for short.